It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning and welcome to Money Matters here. We are in the middle of a government shutdown, among other things. Dow 26,000 up for the week. Dow up another 1%. S&P 500 up almost a full percent. NASDAQ up 1%. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. In the middle of Washington chaos, as if we haven't been in Washington chaos for as long as I can remember. The question is, what happens to a market? What happens to your 401k in the stock market in a government shutdown? The twilight of another government shutdown. So the latest update, again, nothing has happened. So overnight, still no deal. On Saturday, it looks as though Capitol Hill is going to get back together. Congress is going to get back together and continue talks today. We'll see where the government shutdown heads from here. But it's important to remember that when the government shuts down and you think about all of the furloughed workers and you think about all of the things that stop and the molasses that gets in the wheels, remember that the government has to reopen. So it's as if you're at a car dealership. Ryan Ely just giving me this analogy. I think it's perfect. If they can't sell you a car on Tuesday and Wednesday because they're closed, they're going to make it up by Friday. So eventually the government reopens. And eventually business comes back and the pent-up demand. So if you look back at the history of the S&P 500, you can see that what has happened, what are the reactions for the stock market when the government shuts down? Well, we're going to go over that. We're also going to go over and discuss today what I think is one of the most fascinating public battles that I have seen in a very long time. And I want to break down what this means for you as an investor. So that's what we're doing today. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Let me set the table for today's show. We are live here in the studio, like every Sunday morning. Luke Moss is here with me. Luke, are you doing okay, buddy? Good. He made me a he made a deal with me. He said, if I keep coming to the radio, Dad, I have to be able to do the weather. And in order to do the weather, there's some sort of Madden football thing that I need to, that's what I negotiated with him as he smiles with me today. So we're going to get the weather at some point from Luke Moss. But we are here as usual on a Sunday morning in the middle of what has been a very, very cold January here in Atlanta. School out for most of Atlanta public schools or most kids in the state or all around Georgia. So it's been I feel this cabin fever, much like you. School out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for Atlanta public schools. Kids are going crazy. Parents are going crazy. I am part of that crazy group. So I'm excited to be here in the studio today. It's going to be 60 degrees outside today. It's going to be warm. Kind of excited to be able to get outside today. So the question remains, and what we're going to solve today, I'm going to go through government shutdown, see what happens to markets, because that's what's going to happen Monday morning as markets reopen. What's the reaction going to be? Number one. But first, I want to talk about, I think, a bigger, more fundamental issue that plagues investors. And that's when we watch financial television or we listen to financial radio, present company excluded. I'm talking about full-time financial networks like Bloomberg and CNBC, and their whole job is to cover markets, economy, currencies, Bitcoin, every single day, minute by minute, 24/7. And who they have on those shows are the very, very top money managers and investment guys on the planet, men and women on the planet. And I came across a, and I don't think this was set up at all. This was just, this happened to be a kind of a heavyweight fight this week on CNBC without it being set up to be a fight. Kind of, I almost think they did it on, I think it was a big accident, but you had two financial heavyweights in what I think is a really important conversation and major disagreement that leads to the, which is a perfect example of the confusion that besets so many investors. So this, and I'm going to play this clip here in a second. This is a fascinating discussion between Thomas Lee, he's from Fund Strat Global Advisors, and Mike Wilson from Morgan Stanley. All right, both of these guys, financial heavyweights. Mike Wilson, and I'm going to play this clip in just a second. It's about a two-minute clip. Mike Wilson is the chief equity strategist and the CIO, chief investment officer for Morgan Stanley Wealth Management. Big time, right? Thomas Lee, he's the head of research for Fundstrat Global Advisors. He had basically the exact same job as Mike Wilson did, but he had it at J.P. Morgan, another financial super heavyweight. He was J.P. Morgan's chief equity strategist from 2007 to 2014. And that's how I learned about Thomas Lee. Made a lot of really good calls going into the Great Recession. Was very insightful about what was about to happen. And then was really good about calling the market as it started to come back from the depths in March of 2000. He's been a top ranked analyst. He's been, you know, one of the top, you know, 20, 40, 50 guys on Institutional Investor, their list, every year since 1998. So both very smart, both accomplished investors and strategists. One of them, and this is why I want you to listen for, one of them says, hey, we're at the end of this business cycle. We're at the end of our rope, effectively. Markets are near their top. The other one says, no, we're in the fourth or fifth inning. And we have 11 years of expansion to go. By the way, as far as markets are concerned, Lee says he sees markets. Well, I'm going to let you listen to this clip. So I'm going to play this and this thematic. I want to discuss and understand this theme throughout the show today. And I will take your calls and questions. So Ryan Ely here. Give us a call in the studio. We're happy to discuss this, happy to answer your questions. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Let's go ahead and play this clip.
It's important for investors to think long-term. And I think if you think long-term, the things that really end up being risk for stocks is misallocation of capital. Like, is the economy over allocating to low return projects? And I think what we've seen is, look, we've had so much caution since 2009 that animal spirits have been depressed. Now we're starting to see the surveys, small businesses, ISMs improve, and there's a lot of pent up demand. So I think it is tough to say where we are in the cycle. I think it's closer to mid cycle. Like if you look at housing starts, even auto sales and investment to GDP ratios, and then you look at global sort of business cycle, it seems mid-cycle. So I think it's important to think long-term and, you know, long-term, you know,
you're suggesting that we're, say, in the fourth or fifth inning of a bull market?
Yes. I mean, I think it's interesting. So, you know, we do a lot of long-term work, both myself and Rob Slimer, but I think both of us think it's more like 2029 is the peak of this equity market cycle. And then, you know, the S&P is, you know, 6,000 to 15,000. So, you know, I think it's just important to be long-term oriented.
We're going to do the math on that number said.
Well, look, I mean, I agree with that from a secular
bull case. This is Mike Wilson just chiming in.
From a cyclical bull case, I don't agree with that at all. And I think it's pretty clear to us that we're late cycle from an economic standpoint. So the two things I would point to is the unemployment rate. I mean, we're 4.1%. We're 50
basis. Could have a three handle on it, according to some, soon.
Right. So what does that mean? There's not a lot of labor left.
What does that mean?
And that's really the key ingredient for calling an economic slowdown. When you run out of labor, costs go up, and then basically that's when companies fire people. And that's what causes an economic slowdown. That doesn't mean the secular bull market is over. But to kind of make the suggestion that we have two or three more years left in this cyclical sort of expansion, I think it's very misplaced.
Wow. Let's do some math here. So what one of these guys, so Thomas Lee says, hey, we're in the fourth or basically in the middle of the cycle, fourth or fifth inning, meaning the economy has a lot of runway left to go to the upside, which means we have a lot of stock market upside to go along with it. 11 years of expansion to go. The world's going to be a different place in 11 years. That's a long time. By the way, let's do the math on this. As far as markets are concerned, he sees the S&P 500 at between 6,000, and this is on the S&P, not the Dow now. Remember, the S&P 500 today, it's about 2,800. So we're let's say, almost 200 points shy of around number 3,000, to give you some context. If we do some, he says we'll be in 11 years, we'll be at 6,000, or we'll be at 15,000, somewhere in that range. Let's do the math. 2,800 today to 6,000 in 11 years. When you start to throw out these long-term numbers, they seem almost a little crazy out of the gate until you do the math. In 11 years, that's not an egregious number. If you look at the annual percentage rate of return to go from 2,800 to 6,000 over an 11-year period of time, it's a 7.17% rate of return if it happens over 11 years. To reach 15,000, now that starts to get a lot frothier, if you will. But to reach 15,000, you'd have to average 16.5%. Again, we've actually done we've done about that since the recovery. I doubt we're going to continue at that pace. But that's the range that Thomas Lee is talking about, 7% to 16%. Now, again, this is not some off-the-wall strategist here. He co-founded FundStrat in 2017. He was the top stock strategist at J.P. Morgan. He was one of the very few Wall Street analysts to predict Trump winning the election, first of all. And not only did he go on record to say that he would win, he also talked about a rally in stocks, the Trump rally, where most analysts were saying, hey, markets are going to crater if Trump were to get elected. So Thomas Lee has a lot of credibility, been around for over 25 years, and he's been very right lately. So we don't want to dismiss a guy here that has a lot of credibility, a lot of Wall Street credibility. But Mike Wilson, on the other end, he's a very bright guy too, but they disagree significantly. And that's the confusion. And that this is a perfect example of why it's so confusing to invest. Who do you listen to? These guys are saying totally different things. They both know what they're talking about. And by the way, they both have really important points. And that's what I want to try to decode today for you here on Money Matters. Stay tuned. More of this discussion right here, straight ahead.
Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. Decoding this analyst war that we saw on CNBC this week. We're going to get to that. We're going to go to the phones, though, first, of course. Sheila joins us from Atlanta. Sheila, what's going on? How can I help?
Good morning. I'm a 71-year-old retiree, and I have my 100% in equity with Vanguard, and I know it's time for me to reallocate.
Is it time because you are 71 and you feel like that's an awful lot in the stock market?
Yes.
Sheila, tell me a little bit more about yourself. Are you living on this money from your IRA? Do you have a pension? You're probably taking some Social Security. Tell me a little bit more.
I do have Social Security. I have a pension. And I basically take the money from my RMD.
And for living. So you're spending your RMD money?
Yes.
Got it. And the reason I ask that, if you're saying, of course, Wes, of course she's spending the RMD. But some folks try to delay and they don't want to take the RMD because what it's going to do is it's going to increase their overall taxes and they might not, let's say, need the money that year. The government still forces you to pull that money out. And if you don't take your RMD, which amounts to anywhere from about 4% to upwards of 5, 6, 7%, depending on your age, of the balance of your IRA. So if it's $100,000, it's going to be $4,000 or $5,000 a year that you have to take out. And if you don't do it, it's a steep penalty. It's a 50% penalty.
Right.
So the question is, everything you have, Sheila, is all in the stock market, and here we are at a stock market high, and that's what we're talking about today. So hang on the line, Sheila. I want to get to your question because this is exactly what we're talking about. Where do you go? Okay. Stay tuned. Money Matters will return right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Hey. It's
WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. 42 degrees on Peachtree. It's getting warmer today. It's exciting. It's been freezing cold for so long, and it's finally, we are kind of thawing out, which is so nice. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I want to go back to the phones here. So we're talking about what this age-old conundrum that presents itself in a variety of ways, and that is, here we are with the Dow at a new high level, or bouncing right around a new high level, and it's been that way for a very long time as we've continued to plow new ground. And the worry, of course, is here we are, always nervous about what's happening on Capitol Hill, what's happening in Washington. The government shuts down. How long is it going to take to reopen? We've seen this song and dance many, many times before. But it's a constant reminder of the vulnerability of the political system and then how that impacts economics. And we know those two are, of course, highly interrelated. And the question for you as an investor is, what side of the fence do you sit on? Are we at the end of our rope? Are the good times behind us? And where do we head from here? And that's this debate that we've been talking about here. I played a clip earlier, and I want to get back to that. But it plays right into the question that Sheila from Southwest Atlanta joins us. So, Sheila, did you hang on the line with me?
Yes, I'm still here. And I also want to say I'm looking at Vanguard Total Bond Market Fund.
Yes, ma'am.
The Total Bond Market International are the Target Retirement 2015.
Okay, so those are the other things you're considering. So let's refresh. So if you're just tuning in, to Money Matters, we are on the line with Sheila from Southwest Atlanta. And Sheila is a little bit nervous because you've got your entire IRA in stock, basically.
Yes.
Is it all? What fund is it within Vanguard?
I have it in the Dividend Appreciation and the 500 Index Fund.
Got it. Which are wonderful. Those have been wonderful. Uh-huh. They've been fantastic funds.
Yes.
And I love Dividend Appreciation. We've talked about it on the show many times because of the very nature of the kind of equity that it has. It's not just the S&P 500. It has a particular focus on companies that have an income stream, and that income stream can ratchet ever so slightly higher year after year after year. And that's a very good sign in a lot of ways for the company, and it's translated well for investors because these companies have the economic health and the balance sheet to be able to ratchet up the dividend they pay out to investors. So that's part of why that story's worked so well. But now the question here is, as you are now in your 70s, you're taking your required minimum distribution, you start to get a lot more nervous about what happens when the market does finally go into that correction phase.
Right.
What happens when we're at the end of that cycle? And that's the debate. I don't know if that's why you called, Sheila, if you've been listening to what we've been talking about earlier. This debate between these two heavyweight financial analysts that we're trying to decode today here on the show. I go back to looking at your particular situation. And I say, well, everything you have is wrapped up in equity markets.
Uh-huh.
And that's great if you're 25.
Uh-huh.
And it's maybe great even if you're 45, because you still have a lot of years to get to retirement. But usually when you get into your later 50s, your early retirement, let's say your early 60s, and then where you are in your early 70s, you start to try to understand, or you start to try to take on a little bit more caution.
Uh-huh.
And without giving up the farm and sitting, burying cash in the backyard or under the mattress, my answer is always goes back to balance. I want to have some sort of balance, and I want to own a piece of my overall portfolio that doesn't go down by 30% when the market corrects. And that's why you've got to enter in some of these other choices. So you mentioned Vanguard, you said Total Bond.
Yes.
And what was the other one?
The Total Bond Market International and the Target Retirement 2015.
So right out of the gate, I'd be very careful about the Total Bond Market International. The reason there, Sheila, is that we've got interest rates in the United States are starting to go up, and we saw a pretty big move in the last couple of weeks. What's interesting is that if you go internationally, if you look at Asia, look at Japan, you look at the European countries, Germany, you see interest rates that are far, far below where they are here in the United States, which means that you get virtually zero yield. And in some countries, you actually get a negative yield. Okay. So to have an international bond fund right now, as global interest rates are starting to go up, could be a real issue. So I think that's one that I would probably stay very far away from.
Okay.
I would definitely not look at that. I would look at something in line with what that target fund that you talked about.
Okay.
I do like the Vanguard target funds. I think that they can make a lot of sense. I would have you look at another option that could. Well, first of all, I don't think you'd go wrong with the Vanguard target funds.
Okay.
So if you do a Vanguard target fund, I think you want to try to get around at least 40%, at least a third up to 40% in that area that's a little more protected, right? So that effectively would enter in the bond side of the equation.
Uh-huh.
And that would, so the target date fund would do that. If I look up your target date fund, Vanguard Target, and what year were you looking at?
2015.
All right, Target 2015, which again, it's almost as though that was a few years ago.
Right.
But it's been working, and that particular fund, if I look at that has about 60% in bonds. So that gets, so then all of a sudden if you do that, now you're going the entire different direction.
Uh-huh.
And if you were to look at that fund, the one thing about these target funds is, again, you don't necessarily have a ton of control over, you don't have any control over the asset classes. That's why you got to look at what makes up the target before you invest in it. This one also has about 15% in the international bond space, which again, I don't love. It's one of the things I don't necessarily love about these target funds is they're very, very heavy international.
Okay.
Heavy international stock, heavy international bond. And not that international on the stock side is a bad thing. I think international on the bond side is something that I personally like to stay away from. So I would steer you to look at another fund, and that would be the Vanguard Balanced Index Fund. And that has about 60% stock, so that would reduce your allocation by about 40%.
Uh-huh.
The other 40 goes into their version of fixed income or their version of bonds.
Okay.
Mostly government and mostly really high quality A, AA, AAA bonds. And I like that because there's a lot of quality there. And that's why you own bonds right now. You want to have the stability to pad if and when markets start to go the other direction, the stock side of the market. So for somebody that's been comfortable in stocks for now, how many years have you been all stock, Sheila?
I guess it's been about 10 years now.
It's a long time, and you've had a good run, right?
Right, right. I've been listening to you for more than 10 years.
Wow.
Well as Mike. So.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Yes.
So with that, I think now is a good time to reassess and say, wow, I've had a great run. It's been all stock. I'm not as comfortable as I used to be with the fluctuations. So I would be looking at rebalancing to something more like a Vanguard, a balanced, because of the way they do it. It's more of a static allocation. They always try to keep around that same balance. And they're really trying to find the best avenues, as opposed to the target date funds that are kind of set it and forget it. They don't really change the, if you buy the 2015, you're going to have a big chunk in international bonds for a very long time, and I'm not a huge fan of that. So that's the direction I would steer you, Sheila. It's a word. And by the way, thank you for your call, and have a blessed rest of your Sunday.
You're welcome. It's the same to you.
So this goes back to this conundrum. And Jason, if we can, we're going to probably play this clip another second here. If you miss this, well, you know what we'll do? We're going to wait until the next, until the 10 o'clock hour. And I'll, for those of you who didn't hear this clip. The question, and I think this is part of why Sheila called here, is that we're faced with, even on, we're faced with a stock market high, and where do we go from here? And it's much harder as an investor to know what to do moving forward once the market's already done well, relative to when markets are actually in the doldrums, like in 2009 and 10. We had a lot of runway. Valuations were a whole lot lower. So stocks were, quote, cheaper. And the outlook when stocks are really cheap is actually really, really good. So it made it for, even though it was an emotionally scary time coming out of the recession, made it a really easy time to invest. Now we're on the other side of that. We've had a recovery. Stocks have already done well. Where do you go from here? Now, this argument that we've been dissecting about between these two stock strategists, if you're just tuning in, I'll remind you, there's a conversation this week that really caught my attention. Thomas Lee, he's a big-time Wall Street analyst, and then Mike Wilson, another big-time guy. Both were, Lee ran, basically was the head equity strategist at J.P. Morgan for a long time. Mike Wilson's the current head strategist for Morgan Stanley. So they're both smart guys, been around Wall Street 25 years. And they're both saying, hey, one of them saying, hey, I think we got a long runway to go. And I think that we've got 11 years to run in this cycle. S&P 500 is going to hit 6,000, which would be this is the S&P, not the Dow, over 7% average rate of return to get there, all the way to 15,000, which would be a 16.5% rate of return to get there. But on the other side, we've got Mike Wilson is saying, no. He said, as in the short run, it's pretty clear to me and us and his firm that we are in a late stage or cycle from an economic standpoint. One, he says, hey, the unemployment rate's 4.1% means there's not a lot of labor left. Not a lot of people that don't have jobs that can go get jobs to increase output in the economy. So at that point, costs go up, and that's when companies fire people. And then the cycle ends. That causes an economic slowdown. And to say that we have two or three more years left in this current expansion, he says, hey, that's misplaced. For a number of reasons, particularly the reason going back to labor. But it's this fascinating window into the divergent opinions on Wall Street. Both of these guys, 25-year veterans, both on the top of their industry, both super educated. Wilson's got an MBA from Kellogg at Northwestern. Lee went to Wharton. And they're battling it out over TV on where the market and the economy goes from here. So no wonder there's so much confusion on investors' part. No wonder you're confused. No wonder. Smart guy A basically says, hey, the good ride's almost over. Smart guy B says that, hey, this current run-up has some legs. It's got room to run. And even more runway over the next 11 years. So confusion sets in. And as we continue here on the show, I want to try to help you understand what these two guys are saying. See which case actually has the most merit. And then what do you need to do about it? So stay tuned. More Money Matters. And by the way, we are live this morning. So I'll give the number here. Phone lines open 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I want to go quick to the phones. But remember, in the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to go back to this heavyweight boxing match, if you will, between... trying to figure out whether we're at the beginning or middle innings of this economic and market cycle, or we're at the end. So stay tuned for that. We'll replay that clip and dissect it. Kent joins us from Kennesaw. How can we help, man?
Hi, I have a 2-year-old grandson. I'm wanting to invest $10,000 to $15,000 for his future, hopefully for college, but for whatever. So I think I want to be really aggressive with it, and I just wondered if you had some suggestions for what I might do with it.
Well, I do, Kent. There's a lot of different things to do. I think I give you two quick ideas. One idea is that I don't think it's ever an issue to have an account. It doesn't necessarily have to be a 529 account, and it just have a custodial account in a child's name. Buy one or two good stocks or good ETF. That in itself creates a lot of tax deferred growth. Don't be afraid just to do that. And that's number one. How, on the other side, slightly, I would say, more in depth, and this is what I've done for my kids in addition, is just use Georgia's 529 plan. The website is PathToCollege529, and it gives you a wonderful lineup of low-cost funds, and I use the age-based version. And I want to say they have a moderate and an aggressive version per age. And when you've got your grandson, whatever you put in there today, $10,000, $15,000, number one, you get a Georgia state tax deduction to do that. It's not insignificant. It could be $4,000 between you and your wife if you're itemizing. But more importantly, that remember that 529 grows completely tax-deferred, and when it comes out tax-free. And remember, the new tax code, by the way, allows us to use, well, before I say that, I'm going to check that. The great thing about 529 plans is that it grows tax-deferred, it comes out tax-free, and the managed options, the aggressive or even the moderate option that's age-based, will start out 100% in equities. And then it'll slowly, over the course of, let's call it 18 years, migrate to become more conservative by the time they need the money to go to school. I have been using the Georgia's 529 plan for many, many years, and I have been pleased with it and will continue to do so. Kent, thank you for your call. Coming up, analyst heavyweight fight, Wall Street fight from CNBC. I'm going to decode what it means for investors moving forward. Stay tuned to the 10 o'clock hour Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Did you